heard one young boy say that I'm not looking at it as losing an hour of sleep, I'm looking at it as being 1 hour closer to breakfast. So I think it's a great perspective to be 1 hour closer to church, 1 hour closer to be together. Today we are continuing a series on grace. They're still collecting those surveys. I kind of jumped the gun a bit here, but that's okay. We are continuing a series on grace. We talked for the last two Sundays about grace, and next Sunday we're going to land the plane. We started with talking about how grace is powerful to save us from any predicament and any sin. And last Sunday we talked about how grace is not only able to save us, grace is able to help us stand victorious and blameless in the presence of God all through our life. And today we're going to talk about how grace is something we need every single day. Grace, daily grace. And next Sunday, as our last message, we're going to talk about how to be people of grace. I'm especially excited about that message because I think it's just so practical. How to be people of grace, how to give grace to other people. Because remember, grace is undeserved. So we all can learn to be more gracious and give more grace, and also to receive more grace. So this morning, we're gonna. My scripture is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start reading in verse 7. This is Apostle Paul writing, speaking to church in Corinth. And he says something very personal, very vulnerable. In fact, you can say this is probably the most vulnerable moment Apostle Paul has in the New Testament. And he shares his struggle. He shares that although being apostle, being anointed of God, chosen of God to spread the gospel, he had his personal struggle. And he shares the struggle with the church. And this is what he writes. He says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus, we come this morning, and we confess our need of grace. Grace to go through today, grace to face whatever comes our way, grace for every circumstance, and grace for every predicament we find ourselves in. And I pray, Jesus, as we study your word this morning, as we dive into your word, that the Spirit of God will make it alive in our heart and in our spirit. God will minister grace to every listener, God. And I pray that the anointing presence of God will take these words and make them alive in our spirit. God, it will nourish our soul. We invite your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to uplift us. We release life, and the Spirit of God minister life to every soul this morning, no matter where they find themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyday grace. You see, grace is something that I was talking to somebody this week. We've learned to we've got used to this big word of grace, and we think it's kind of one of those things that you need in special circumstances. You know, when things are really bad, and of course you need grace. But grace is much more than that. And I want us to talk this morning about how we need grace every single day. We're going to talk about how I need grace for today. We're going to talk about how we need grace for our trials. We're going to talk about how we need grace for our tomorrow. And Apostle Paul starts, I mean, he says a very amazing story, something that puzzles theologians to this day. I mean, people were scratching their big theological heads for the last 20 centuries. What is Apostle Paul talking about? And he's telling the church the amazing statement, says, listen, God has given me so much. God has revealed me so much. And because of so much knowledge, because of so much revelation, it's actually very tempting to get proud. It's very tempting to think that I'm better than you because of what God has given me. And because of so much that God has given me, God has given me something else. And he talks about thorn in the flesh. And people were debating for centuries what exactly it is. And some theologians believe that he had a poor eyesight. Because to one of the churches he said, if you you could have gouged your eyes out and given them to me. And in my great sickness, you accepted me just as I am. So some people thought he was a very poor vision. Some people believe it was epilepsy. I don't know how they got that conclusion, but that's what they believe, that Apostle Paul struggled with epilepsy. I don't know what it is. And I don't think, my Bible doesn't make it clear. There's different traditions, different historians who try to deduce and come up. But the point is, it was something very debilitating. It was something very painful, to the point that Apostle Paul says, it's a thorn in the flesh. It's something that torments me. He calls it a messenger of Satan, which is very strong words here. He says, it was sent to torment me. And he said, I asked God 3 times to remove it, but God, and God, this is where it gets really interesting. Because Apostle Paul, you know, obviously experiencing many miracles, experienced many signs and wonders. When he preached the gospel, he saw people raised from the dead. He saw people healed. He saw great miracles. And says, God, how am I supposed to minister to people with this? And in his logical mind, it made sense for God to remove that so he can minister to more people. But God had a different perspective. God said, you need grace. For that, you need grace. Now, I've heard this scripture used and abused for many reasons. So before we're gonna go on studying it, I wanna put a little disclaimer. A lot of people claimed a lot of things is thorn in their flesh. I remember my Bible professor in school, he claimed his wife was a thorn in the flesh. That's not in the Bible. Okay? That's not in the Bible. And a lot of people think, you know, a lot of people begin to pray for something. And as soon as they didn't get an answer right away, they say, oh, it must be my thorn in the flesh. No. Please, when you start praying, do not stop praying until you hear a clear answer from God. Apostle Paul received clear no. God said, stop praying about it. You're not getting what you're asking for. You're getting something else. You're getting grace for that. So until you have a very clear answer from God that you need to stop praying, do not stop praying. That's a very important distinction, because guess what? As much as you're a good Christian, you're not Apostle Paul, okay? You didn't get such a huge revelation that you're in danger. I mean, we're all in danger of getting proud, but listen. Apostle Paul had amazing, amazing experience in God's presence, and God was dealing with him. So, do not be very quick. There's a mistake people make. They're very quick to claim something as thorn in the flesh. And that could be true, but most likely you need to pray and fight and believe and rebuke that and stand against it, because God has given you authority for that. Amen. So that just to make things clear. So don't begin to claim things as that's my burden, that's my cross, that's my thorn, because unless God has clearly said so, continue believing for everything God has for you. Amen. But amazing thing here, Apostle Paul says that God, he was asking for one answer, but God has given him, he says, my grace is sufficient. And I want to talk to you how, listen, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're going through and dealing with, even coming to church this morning, there is grace for that. Grace of God is a special power that is dispensed at the moment that it's needed. Okay, grace is not something you can accumulate like money in a savings account. It's not something you can just kind of store up for the rainy day. No. Grace of God is dispensed on a daily level, on a daily measure. Whenever you need it, God has His grace for that. And listen, no matter what we are facing, God has grace for that. Are you facing a sickness? Believe for healing. But even if you do not receive healing, God has a grace for you to go through that. You're suffering with some conflict in your family. Listen, God has grace for that. You're struggling at your work. God has grace for that. You're struggling to raise your kids. God has grace for that. And church, we need to learn, we need to come into a habit of waking up and say, God, whatever's going to come my way today, give me grace to go through it. Amen? Give me grace to go through it. I remember one preacher said, this lady came up to me and said, Pastor, I'm going through hell. And he said, listen, lady, no matter what you do, don't stay there. Just keep going. Because God, listen, God has a grace for you to go through. Even if you're going on through hell on earth, God has a grace for you to go through that. Amen? David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. your rod and your staff there with me. You will take me through it. Listen, I'm not trying to minimize your pain. I'm not trying to minimize the difficulty of your circumstances. What I'm trying to tell you that no matter how difficult your circumstances, God's grace is greater than that. Amen? Listen, God's grace is greater than your today. God's grace is greater than any challenge you may experience today. There is a grace of God that's bigger than that. Apostle Paul says, God, this thorn in my flesh, it's horrible, it's painful, it's tormenting me. And God says, my grace is bigger. And listen, we need to learn to tap into muchness and greatness of God's grace. Remember we talked about in the first message that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And then it says, but God gives a greater grace. I don't know about you, but I want greater grace. I want more of that special power to go through today, not just surviving. Remember, God has not called us to survive. God has called us to thrive. There's a big difference. Without grace, you might survive. With grace of God, you will thrive. No matter your circumstances, no matter what you're facing today, listen, no matter what you're facing today, God's grace can enable you to thrive right there. That's what, in essence, God is saying to Apostle Paul. Listen, yes, you have thorn in your flesh. You have this messenger of Satan tormenting you, but my grace is bigger than that. You see, God has given him a different perspective. And that's what's so powerful about grace. It's not only can enable us to go through anything, it's also enabling us to give a different perspective in our life. Because you might look at your pain, you might look at your struggle and say, this is hopeless, this is useless, this is horrible, it's depressing. God says, no, no, no. This is an opportunity for you to experience more of my grace. So listen, no matter what you're going through today, don't go alone. Don't stay there. Say, God, give me grace to go through it today. Receive grace for that. Listen, you want to be a better parent? Say, God, give me grace to be a better parent. You want to be a better spouse? Say, God, give me grace to be a better spouse. You want to be a better businessman, worker, whatever you work is, say, God, give me grace for that. Because guess what? God's grace is bigger than your problem, your challenges, your issues, your struggles. God's grace is bigger than that. Receive it. Receive it for today. And listen, you'll go from struggling to surviving to overcoming. Amen. So God's grace is bigger than our today. You know, Pastor Max Lucado talks about grace as a spiritual adrenaline. As a spiritual adrenaline for our soul. And I found it's really it's really powerful example because I looked up what adrenaline does to our body. Listen what adrenaline does to our body. Adrenaline helps you focus and respond under stress. Grace does that for you. When adrenaline pumps in your body, it actually dilates your pupils so you can see better. And this is what grace does. Remember, grace gives us a bigger perspective, a better perspective on things. And you see, your adrenaline in your body, it's not always pumping. Body produces it when you need it, right? When you all of a sudden you find yourself in a difficult situation, God has created a body in such a way that it produces this chemical that gives you a clarity, that gives you perspective when things are really stressful and really hard. Adrenaline actually helps you breathe easier. Because when something really painful happens or really difficult happens, some people can't breathe. You know how I've heard people, that's what we say, take a deep breath, right? So what adrenaline does, it relaxes our muscles so we can breathe. Under very stressful and difficult circumstances, grace does that to our soul and our spirit. Adrenaline sharpens your senses. You can actually hear better, see better, you can discern better. That's what adrenaline does to the body. Grace does that to your spirit. When you're going through difficult circumstances, grace sharpens your senses and you can respond in a better way. Adrenaline can block pain, which is amazing. That some people, you know, we've seen that, you know, in movies, but it's actually true in real life. Some people can get shot. But because they're trying to save somebody, they won't even notice their own wound. Their adrenaline will block the pain in them so they can help others. Adrenaline sometimes can give you supernatural strength that you could never do by yourself. That's why we hear stories of people, you know, somebody's car fell on them and somebody came was able to lift a car They could never do that without adrenaline, but adrenaline enabled them to have the supernatural strength just for that moment. So they can rescue somebody. This is what grace does to you. Grace comes in right at the moment. Listen, you cannot save grace for tomorrow, but you can receive it tomorrow. And you can be sure that no matter what's going to come your way, God has grace that's bigger than your problem. It's not just, you know, that word we read, that my grace is enough, or your translation might say, my grace is sufficient. I don't like the word sufficient because sufficiency implies this is just enough. But God's grace is not just enough. God's grace is more than enough. The word there means it's all sufficient. It's no matter what life throws your way, no matter what problem come your way, God's grace is always bigger than that. You know what the Bible says? When grace abounds, when sin abounds, what does grace do? Grace abounds even more. You see, when somebody falls deeper in sin, God releases even more grace to rescue them out of that sin. When somebody falls in deeper sickness, God's grace is bigger than that to rescue them out of the most incurable sickness. When somebody falls deeper into issues and problems, there is always grace of God that's bigger than that, that's able to rescue you no matter what you're going through. That takes us to our second thought I want to talk to you about, is that God's grace is not only bigger than your today, God's grace is greater than your trial. God's grace is greater than your trials. Are we all going through trials, church? We all, you know, somebody said you're either exiting a trial, you're about to go into one, or you're living in one. But people, we go through difficult times, we go through problems, we go through trials, but grace of God, listen, grace of God is able to take you through anything that could happen to you. I don't know if you remember a story of a song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Those of you who are older, you know that. Those of you who are younger, let me repeat it for you just to encourage you this morning. I've shared this story before. It actually has a Chicago connection. There was a guy by the name of Horatio Spufford who lived in Chicago in 1860s and 70s and 80s. He was a wealthy businessman. He was a lawyer. He was a real estate owner. He owned a lot of real estate right on Lakeshore Drive. And he was a believing man. He was a Christian man. He was a personal friend of D.L. Moody, an evangelist who founded Moody Bible Institute, who preached throughout the world to millions and millions of people. Now, in 1860s, Horatio's older son dies. Then 1871, who remembers what happened in 1871 in Chicago? Greater Chicago Fire. Destroyed most of his real estate property. He had multiple properties that were all burned in the fire. It was gone, destroyed. So, out of all of that stress, out of all of just going through, he decides he's going to go with his wife and four daughters. I believe he had three daughters. He's going to go to England and spend some time vacationing and also accompany D.L. Moody just on the preaching tour, just kind of hang out with him, just get away from Chicago. And at the very last moment, some business deal he had to finish kept him away, so he sent his wife and his daughters ahead of him. He stayed behind. As they were crossing the Atlantic, another ship rams into them, and their ship sinks in 12 minutes. His three daughters die. His wife is pulled out of the water unconscious, but she survives. A few days later, she telegrams him from London and says, "Survived alone." Well, just imagine this guy. He loses his son. He loses his business. Now he loses his other three daughters. So he catches the next ship across the ocean and goes back there. And this is what the story goes like, that when he was crossing the Atlantic and somebody told him, this is approximately the spot where the ship sank with your daughters, he began to write. And he wrote a song that became a classic because it's birthed out of real experience. It's birthed out of real fire that he went through, and it blessed many people throughout decades and decades. And this is what it goes like: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. See, that's grace. If you could ask anybody, say, can you endure the loss of your kids, the loss of your property and everything you have, you can say, I could never go through that. I could have never possibly survived that. But you see, when people go through unimaginable trials and when they are connected with God, God releases grace. And why it's important, because, listen, you don't have to be afraid anything that comes your way. No matter what's going to come your way, you can be sure that God has a grace not to match that. God has a grace and bigger than that. Amen? And that's why sometimes you hear stories of people who say, you know, they went through unimaginable pain. Maybe they lost somebody or they went through some huge struggle. And they say, listen, I don't know where the strength came to go through it, but somehow I went through that. We've all heard of stories like that. That's grace. That's grace that given them at the moment. When they could not possibly imagine, if you tell them ahead of time, they could go through that. But as they were going through that, there was a supernatural power that enabled them to go through that pain. That's grace. That's the power of grace. And church, listen, we need that daily. We need grace daily. It's not something you receive when you just get saved. It's not something that you just use to get away from sin and sinful habit. It is something you tap into every single day. You wake up and say, God, I need grace for today. I need grace to go through today. I need grace to overcome. I need grace to succeed. I need grace to thrive. I need grace to be a husband. I need grace to be a dad. I need grace to be a son. I need grace. Whether you're going through simple life or you're going through trials, you need grace. By the way, grace is not a pity. God's grace is not saying, hey, oh, poor you. God's grace is not sympathy to wallow in your pain. God's grace is power to lift you above that. When you're going through pain, God doesn't come and say, oh, poor you. Yes, God sympathizes, but God says, listen, you can get through that. You and I will go through that. It's difficult, it's painful, it's hard, but listen, my grace is bigger. That's what God is saying to Apostle Paul. Yes, it's hard, it's painful, it's tormenting, but my grace is bigger. To go through that, tap into my grace. Just tap into my grace, tap into my grace. And listen, maybe you're waiting for that answered prayer for years. Keep praying. As I mentioned, keep praying until God tells you otherwise. Keep praying, but while you're waiting, tap into God's grace. It's going to help you to go through the difficult time. While you're waiting for the prodigal son or daughter to come back, maybe you're praying for years, God, touch them. God, save them. Maybe it's a prodigal spouse or a family member. Tap into God's grace to go through while you're waiting. And God's grace will enable you to go through that. And not just to survive, but to thrive, to have joy. Right? Sometimes you look at a person and you say, hey, why are you smiling? I know what happened to you. It's because of the grace of God. Because when a person is connected with the grace of God, they cannot just kind of have their life on the back burner. They can live their life. They can thrive in the midst of unbelievable pain, in the midst of unbelievable brokenness, because that's what grace of God is for. Amen? Remember, we talked about the definition of grace. Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is God doing for you what you could never do for yourself. Grace is something you can never deserve, you can never earn, you can never do it for yourself, but God can do it because of His grace and His love and His favor. Just receive it from Him, amen? Receive it for today, for your trial, for your struggle. I love the scripture. Apostle Paul says also in the same letter to 2 Corinthians, he says that, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, listen to this word, always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good work. Always. Having all sufficiency in everything, in every circumstance. If you ask about insurance, that's pretty big umbrella coverage, right? Always, in everything, in every circumstance, God is able to make His grace abound in you. Not just sometimes, not whenever God feels like it, not whenever I deserve it. No, no, no. Always. In every circumstance, God's grace has sufficiency to meet your need. In fact, it's exact match for your need. You see, when somebody is sinking, they need somebody who can swim better. They need somebody else who can come and has a skill, or has the ability, or has the equipment to rescue them, and that's grace. Grace is not just bigger than your problem. Grace is exactly what your problem needs, is grace. Because God knows what we need, and He ministers and releases grace to meet that particular need and rescue you and help you to overcome, help you to go through hell because of the grace of God. Amen? So receive grace for today. Grace is bigger than your today. Grace is bigger than your trial. And last thought I want to share with you, we're going to pray. Grace is bigger than your tomorrow. Listen, there is one thing that keeps people awake is worrying about tomorrow. It's an anxiety. What's going to happen? Look at the world we're living in. Look what's happening in schools. Look what's happening in our culture. How are my kids going to grow up? How am I going to put food on my table? Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're struggling with sickness. Listen, the amazing thing about grace is that, as I said, it's dispensed at the moment. You can't save it for tomorrow, but one thing you can be sure about, that when tomorrow comes, God's grace is bigger than your tomorrow. Amen? That no matter what's going to come your way, as you go to sleep, you can rest assured that when tomorrow comes, God's grace will come. Amen? God's grace will come. And that grace will be bigger than whatever life throws your way. That grace will be bigger than whatever sickness can come your way. That grace is bigger than your grumpy boss that you're going to see tomorrow at work. Grace of God is bigger than that. Amen? It's bigger than that. And guess what's going to happen when tomorrow comes? You wake up and say, God, give me grace for today. Give me grace for today. Give me grace to go through today and overcome. And God's going to release that. Listen, you're struggling with sin. Tap into the grace of God. When sin abounds, God's grace is bigger than that. And God's grace is not going to keep you in your sin. God's grace is going to rip you out of that pit, rip you out of that bondage, and help you stand victorious and pure and holy, because God's grace is able to accomplish that. Amen? Remember, God's grace is not only able to forgive us our sins, God's grace is able to keep us from sin. God's grace is not only able to pull us out of the pit, God's grace is able to keep you from falling into the pit. It's bigger than your addiction. It's bigger than your weakness. It's bigger than your struggle. It's bigger than your thorn in the flesh. It's bigger than your trial you're going through. No matter what's coming your way, God's grace is always, always bigger. And you can be rest assured of that tomorrow, when no matter what comes, there'll be grace. There'll be bigger than that. And that's enough for me, church. I don't know about you, but that's enough for me. When tomorrow comes, God's grace is bigger. I love the song, again, Amazing Grace. Today we talk about a lot of hymns. John Newton said, Amazing Grace. And I love the last verses, and grace will lead me home. Amen? Listen, grace of God is powerful enough not only to sustain you today, not only to sustain your trial, not only to sustain you tomorrow, God's grace is able you to take you all the way to heaven. Amen? And that's what we're all banking on. Listen, I'm not strong enough or disciplined enough or spiritual enough to stay saved all my life. God's grace is able to do that for me. Amen? I know, I can rest assured that when I mess up, God's grace will pull me up. When I make a foolish and stupid mistake, God's grace will rip me out of that, and God's grace will take me not just today, not just through difficult time, not just tomorrow, but all the way to heaven. I'm going to stand at the presence of God. You're going to stand in the presence of God. And it's going to be all because of grace of God. You're going to stand there not because I've earned it, not because of a hard, I tried very hard, not because I worked very hard, not because I prayed very hard. I'm going to stand there, and you're going to stand there because only one thing, grace of God. Grace of God, and you're going to stand and you're going to thank God for the grace of God. That amazing grace that will not just going to help you through your life, it will take you all the way to heaven. Amen? That's the power of God's grace. And listen, as we're going to pray right now, can I give you just a couple of tips how to receive grace? As I mentioned already, when you wake up every day, ask God for grace specifically. I know God knows our problems, but listen, say, God, give me grace for today. Let it be your habit. Give me grace for today. When you're facing a trial, and you say, God, I don't know what's going on. It's horrible. It's difficult. It's painful. Give me grace. Give me grace either to overcome it or give me grace to go through it. But no matter what happens, give me grace. You see, we need to apply grace specifically to our need. Because God's grace is made specifically for our needs. And I love that song we sang, that in the middle of a storm, raise a hallelujah. Raise a praise. Listen, don't you know, our difficulty, our trials, our difficult circumstances, they have a way of focusing us just on our pain. And all you see is my problem. All I see is my brokenness. All I see is my kid's sickness. All I see is somebody not doing well. But listen, when you raise up your voice to God, when you focus your attention on Jesus, when able to raise up your eyes, that's why Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the beginner and the finisher of your faith. You see, when I begin, and how we do that through praise. We do that when it's difficult, when it's painful, you say, God, it hurts. God, it's difficult, but you're still loving God. You're still good God. I will praise you. I will not be silent, even though it hurts. And when you're in a posture like that, you're in a place to receive grace. You're in a place the darkness of the moment loses its power over you, and you get to pin into the light of God, and life of God can flow through you because of the grace of God. Pray the verse over you, then in all things, in every circumstances, God is able to make His grace abound in you. Pray it over you. Print it over. Put it in your car. Put it in your office. Put it by your bedroom. Put it in your desk. Let it remind you that God has grace. He has all sufficiency at every circumstance, every time, today, tomorrow, through difficult times, through dark seasons. God has His grace. Amen? Let's be on our feet. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for the grace of God. We thank You, God, that we might be in pain, we might be in difficult circumstances. Lord, somebody today might be going through hell on earth. People might not even know around them what they're going through, God. Well, Lord, maybe somebody today is going to be facing a difficult battle. We might not even realize what's coming our way, God, but that makes no difference, God. We don't want to spend our energy and our time being anxious about what's coming our way, God. We want to tap in to the muchness and greatness of the grace of God. And today, Father, we humble ourselves and we receive grace. We receive grace. We receive grace for the moment, grace for today. We receive grace for a trial. Grace bigger than that. We receive it, God. Holy Spirit is He's releasing, He's dispensing His grace right now. Just ask God for it. Say, God, give me grace. Listen, no matter what you're struggling with this morning, let it be your prayer this morning. Say, God, give me grace for, and just fill in the blank. Give me grace. Because Spirit of God is dispensing the power of God, grace of God, specifically for what you're facing today. Yes, God, we receive Your grace. 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 Father, we surrender our anxiety about tomorrow. We receive Your grace. Father, we cast off every defeated attitude. We receive Your grace for it. We cast away every anxiety and every worry and every darkness and depression. We receive Your grace. Father, we might not know how we're going to pay for that thing tomorrow, but we receive Your grace. We might not know how we're going to face those people today or tomorrow, but we receive Your grace. Your grace is enough. It's more than enough. It's all sufficient. It's all abounding. It's all present. And we receive it this morning, God. Oh God, I pray that every single person who is here today, they will leave this place refilled with the grace of God, renewed, refreshed, with new perspective, with new power, because of the grace of God. Word of God says, not my might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We don't have to try to figure out very hard how we're going to solve the problem. Your grace is the solution, God. Your grace is the solution. And we apply right now the grace of God over our weakness. Apostle Paul said, I will boast in my weakness, because when I'm weak, I am strong because of the grace of God. And Father, today we don't want to deny our weakness, God. We want to come before you. We want to present it to you. Say, God, this is the place where I need to receive grace. And I receive it today, God, from my every weakness, from my every shortcoming, from my every struggle, every place, Lord, that I'm not enough. I pray your grace will supply and overfill and give more than enough. Yes, God. Yes, God. We receive it. We apply grace of God to every need. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I pray that God will make all our grace abound to you, so that in all things, in all times, having all sufficiency, you'll abound in every good work. We receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you all for coming. We have some great refreshments and great coffee. Stick around. Thank you, everybody, for coming. God bless you. The promise of your love, you prove.